I am Gary Collins. In our present generation, we're not seeing as much attention given to moral principles as we should be, but we believe that men are turning back to the Bible because they know that Satan certainly wants to destroy them, while the Lord wants to see them saved. The good standard for all men, through the free moral agency of men, is indeed the Word of God. Satan invades our lives by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And sin and immorality, of course, are opposites and must not be found to not be discerned. There is the media that wants to draw us away from right and truth. There is pornography that causes many people to be lost. Dancing is a part of that. Immodest clothing, drinking and drugs, all of these things come into view when we talk about morality and immorality. Well, of course, when we talk about drinking and drugs, you know, there are more homes now affected adversely by drinking and drugs than perhaps any other sin that is known of. Some call it disease or an innocent action by the good old boys. But it's still causing heartaches and hunger and disrespect and divorce, and it's still sin. You know, it is said by those who have statistics that at least 71% of Americans drink, and many more misuse drugs to their own destruction. You know, drinking and drugs are condemned in every listing of sins in the Bible. You can search that. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and other places. But the wise counsel of the Old Testament wise men also warns and condemns the use of intoxicants. In Proverbs 20 and also Proverbs 23, these things are drawn clearly before our minds. If you don't think drinking and drugs are destructive, my friends, because the Bible teaches it, then ask the parents of those who have drinkers in their family. Ask the husbands of those whose wives drink, or the wives of those whose husbands drink, and the children about the great damage that comes because their parents drink. The individuals who drink, the enormous scars that are left on the loved ones who have to endure the abuse of that addict. My friends, it is a terrible thing. It's not ever a pretty picture. It's always an ugly picture. And Proverbs 13:15 continues to remind us the way of the transgressor is hard. And it is. Many lose their family. Many lose their jobs. Many are left out because of drinking and drugs. Then there's gambling. You know, we're having in our state a push for gambling to come in. For those who have fallen prey to this tool of the devil, it may be contended that this practice is harmless and fun. Look at all the revenue we receive. And yet when we look for that revenue after it's come in, we don't find it. In fact, it's costing us more than it did before. So they refuse to see that gambling is based on materialism and greed, and is against the principles of the great standard of all time, the Word of God. The gambling and the greed that is here are not harmless fun, are they? But it's against the principles of the Word of God. The Word of God will lead us in the right way. Gamblers don't want to lead us in the right way. The greed for gain, the gain by deceit and by trickery, becomes so ingrained in some that they refuse to see the damage to themselves or to their loved ones. What a shame. The golden rule is certainly broken. Even as you would that men should do unto you, do ye even also unto them, Matthew 7:12. No one wants to be beat by a gambler, and therefore the gambler shouldn't be beating people. And it never produces good fruit. It always produces evil fruit. You know, in Matthew 7:16, Jesus said, "You'll know a tree by its fruit." And it is covetousness when we have gambling. It's extortion when we have gambling. And all of these are listed in the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, you know, Paul says by inspiration also that those who practice such will not inherit the eternal home in heaven, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. What a price it is to pay for a few moments of reckless folly. We must warn our children of the dangers of gambling, whether it be playing marbles or pitching pennies, or matching for Cokes, or an afternoon at bridge, or a friendly poker game, as they say. Maybe it's bingo, or dog, or horse racing. Maybe it's boxing matches, or ball games. Or maybe it's the Las Vegas casinos. It is thievery by consent. It doesn't matter what it is. And God decrees that we should make our own way in this world. that is for us and for our family, by the sweat of our face. Galatians 3:19. And Paul commands in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. Well, my friends, these principles need to be followed, don't they? Then there is another evil in our world. It's called murder. You know, since the first murder recorded in the Bible, when Cain killed Abel, gallons of blood have been poured from human beings since that time. Whether it be the pro-choice people or the women's rights folks who sacrificed their precious babies on the altar of escape, or whether it is suicide, murder is still quite prevalent in this world of ours. What a shame that the innocent babies have no choice. The women say we have a choice. But where's the baby's choice? In the hands of self-centered sinners. You know, in addition to the abortionists, there's also those who are murderers called euthanatheists. That means the good death. These people set themselves up to kill the unfit, the infirm, or the ones they contend are non-useful. And this form of extermination takes life out of the hands of God and replaces God's will with human thinking. Whether rich or poor, though, my friends, God places a high value on life and the life of every individual. He said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Galatians 9 and verse 6. Therefore, capital punishment is correct, isn't it? So final authority for these things do not rest in the medical field or the philosophical or theological degrees, but with the Word of God. And God definitely will have the last word in these matters. He will bring us before the judgment seat to bring before us what punishment is needful for all the sins we've committed. The Bible says, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And that includes the murder of a brother. You know, in 1 John 3:15, we find some very special instruction by John there when he talks about the things which we may call murder. He says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. But thankfully, men who repent and will be baptized can be saved, even as the murderers of Christ in Acts 2, verse 36 through 38. But here's another sin that is prevalent in our world. It's called homosexuality. Now, there's no hate in our hearts now, nor has there ever been, for any homosexual individual. We have no hate either for the rapist or for the drug addict, so far as that goes. But it is necessary, if we realize our responsibility, to proclaim the whole counsel of God. You know, Paul said in Acts 20, I'm free from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Now, the whole counsel of God warns those who practice such sin as homosexuality that if they die in that condition without repentance, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. This wicked chosen practice is an abomination in the sight of God, according to Leviticus 18:22. And you know, some, attempting to excuse the practice, may call it sickness. They may say, now these people are sick. But the Bible never condemns sickness. Our God is sympathetic toward all who are sick and in affliction, and yet He decreed death for those who practice homosexuality in the Old Testament. Leviticus 20 and verse 13 points that out. Now, in the eyes of Jehovah, the Bible says this is a very grievous sin. Genesis 18 and 19, Romans 1, and the verses all in those chapters point out to us the grievous sin of sodomy, homosexuality. And though many may try to dress up their action of sodomy in such terms as gay lifestyle, or speak of gay rights, we have to show these, my friends, that they have the same rights that the Bible, and in most places the laws of the land, allow for drug users and rapists. Now, they're not to be compared with the minorities of our day. They're not minorities. They are those who sin. There's absolutely none that will be found in this way. Sodomy is a perversion of a grievous passion, and it will bring individuals under the wrath of God, Romans 1:18. It, like other sins that are based upon and founded upon rebellion to the will of God, will finally bring one to eternal destruction. Now, there are some other forms of worldliness, and it seems that they continue to come. The world continues to invent new things and different things different ways and things in order that they may commit transgression against the laws of God that are found in the New Testament. But listen, friend, the Bible knows them all before they're invented. Did you know that? And it warns about these practices. 1 John 2, 2 Timothy 3, these are warnings about these invented things whereby more sin may be committed. But living a life in this world is a very serious work for man, isn't it? With eternal consequences. And we exhort all who have studied with us this week to be reminded that life here is very brief and fragile, and death is definitely sure, and eternity is endless. Paul wrote, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world."